Just to say that these are my thoughts. You don't have to agree with a word I say. And I may change my mind at some date in the future. Religion and the search for meaning in life is a common and constant thread in the history of humanity. Archaeology shows us that honouring the gods and deceased loved ones is part of every culture. Humans have always pondered the origins and purpose of life. Where did they come from? What's the meaning of life? And of course, what happens when we die? And we've added to that maybe, does God exist? But we live with contradictions. We know that humans are powerful. Having explored the planet, we now explore space. We have instant communications with all parts of the world. And we have created weapons that can wipe out the entire life on Earth in an instant. But in other aspects of our life, we are powerless, and there's many mysteries we don't understand. One of the least understood places, of course, is inside our mind. What makes us do the things we do? And we have to learn to live with the knowledge that our lifetime is limited. The only certainty in life is uncertainty. And faced with our powerlessness and the unpredictability of life, humans named the mystery God. And God is part of every human story. And because it is such a constant and widespread part of the human story, there are many versions of God. And we know these change over time and depend on the location where the gods exist. The predominant religion of Western culture is Christianity. Christianity is deeply embedded in our culture and in the political history of Europe. And Christianity is based on a belief in a version of divinity set down 2,000 years ago, and one based on faith. Faith in Jesus as the only incarnate Son of God, and in the redeeming power of his sacrificial death. Faith, as the schoolboy in Mark Twain's novel Huckleberry Finn said, is believing in things you know ain't so. And often the faith that we inherited conflicts with our mature understanding of ourselves and our personal experiences. When this conflict happens, many people leave religion, and that's particularly true in the last 20 or 30 years. But this community is one that haven't given up on religion. But we are a community who questions. We've left one faith, we are still searching, and we're still asking the questions. And we ask those questions from other faith systems, science, poets, sages, reason is always, always to the fore with us. But I think we need to keep a more open mind for the nuggets of wisdom that may unexpectedly come to us. Sometimes when we depend on reason, we dismiss those lovely moments that just come to us as a gift, and say we imagine them or something like that. My education as a child was steeped in religion. The school I went to was next door to the church. All the teachers were nuns. Class began and ended with a prayer, and 30 minutes of every day was devoted to religious instruction. And it was instruction in the Roman Catholic faith rather than education about religion. and I took religion very seriously. I believed almost everything I was taught. There was one exception. The teacher, a nun, was explaining about confession and the priest forgiving sins. She explained that while the priest forgave sin in the confessional, but as a white garment is stained by mud and leaves a stain, sometimes even after it's been washed, so there is a mark left on the soul. Some residual stain is left even after confession. So not only had I put many black stains on my white soul, I had inherited the enormous black mark of Adam and Eve. And I just knew that was unfair. Just thought that that's not fair, it shouldn't be. In an instant, even while young, I knew my soul was not a gobby piece of linen, that my soul was golden. And at that time, I didn't consider other souls at all. You never thought, well, are they white or are they golden? Didn't consider that at all. But I knew mine was golden, something that had the potential to shine. The image of my soul as being golden with potential to shine stayed with me. But it would be many years before I accepted that growth needs input from me. I just thought, well, it should shine, you know, it's going to magically happen on its own. That eureka moment for me, I was very young, it was very quiet. I didn't contradict the teacher. I never spoke about it. I only began to think about it in recent years. But it has stayed with me, and I have learned lessons from it. One is, religion can never be set in stone. Religion cannot be taught or taken second-handed from another person. Someone else may inspire us, but belief must come from personal experience. Questioning religion is vital because every religion originated in human efforts to answer those big questions of origins, purpose, and destiny. And from our powerlessness in the face of uncertainty. And no one religion or no one person has all the answers. And as I said, while we prize reason, we should keep our mind open that on occasion intuition may come to us from an unexpected source. And remember, Jesus did say, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be opened. Sometimes when we start to seek, it will come to us. Be open to eureka moments. You may be surprised when they come. And they come especially at times, quiet times of reflection. It is 30 years since I first attended this church. And during those years, I have read, thought about, and talked a good deal about religion. This morning, I thought I would share some things I find useful for navigating my life. I believe that the questions of the origin or wondering whether God exists or not and what those attributes of God might be or whatever happens when we die are interesting subjects for discussion. They always fascinate me. However, ultimately, those questions are pointless. At best, any resolution that I come to is only a finger pointing towards the moon. That finger shouldn't be confused with the moon. If something sits easy with you as an explanation for those big questions, doesn't mean that's the right one. It sits easy with you. It may not sit so easy with somebody else. It is important to question to find and live the purpose of your life. That is really the most important one. Everything else will fall into place and be revealed in time if we live and find the purpose of our lives. The writer Rilke wrote, "Live the questions so that one day you may live your way to the answers." We must live those questions, not debate them. I believe I must find purpose for my life. I believe that it's important that I fulfill the purpose. And two poems speak to me clearly on this subject. The first is Rumi's wonderful poem, The Guest House. This was written in the 13th century, and it still speaks to me today. This being human is a guest house, every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still treat each guest honorably. It may be clearing you out for a new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. All our experiences, I believe, are sent to teach us something. Life sends them to us because we need them. And some experiences we welcome, others we would avoid them if we could. And we don't have a choice. Our only choice is how we respond to the experiences that come to us. Do we allow them to make us kinder, wiser, learn a life's lesson? Or do we waste the lesson by allowing it to harden our hearts? And the second poem is written by a contemporary writer called Donna Markova. And this is what she writes. "I will not die an unlived life. I will not go in fear of falling or catching fire. I chose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me and make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance to live so that which came to me as seed goes on to come to the next as blossom, and that which came as blossom goes on as fruit." She refuses to live her life in fear, but to live it, to really live it, to live every experience and to make a difference, because you are meant to make a difference. I believe the guests are experiences that arrive into our lives. They're sent to us as teachers. It may take a while to see the lesson, but given time and thought, the lesson will reveal itself. In the second poem, I believe that it is sent to us, what is sent to us as seed, we have the duty to pass on as fruit. We are meant to make a contribution to life. I don't think we would be here if we weren't. The religion I grew up with was a dour, joyless affair. I think real religion should make us happier, And when you meet people of a deep, honestly held religious belief, they are noticeably happier people. They're never miserable. Buddhism explores a path of how to end suffering in life. Ending suffering is a big claim. And you say, why are people not breaking down the Buddhist temple doors to get in and learning how to end their pain? And the answer is because finding release from suffering takes an amazing dedication to hard work. And most of us are not up for that. But I know two reliable ways to increase happiness. Not take away sorrow, maybe, but to increase happiness. Firstly, take a moment or two every day to notice what you were thinking. Don't try to change the thoughts. Just notice the thought. Stick with the thought, even if it's uncomfortable. And notice that within seconds, that thought will have changed. Whatever emotions that thought engenders in us, too, will change. We know everything changes. So don't get hung up on feeling sad. Sit with the feeling and say, this too will change. The second idea for increasing happiness is to practice gratitude. Being grateful makes us happier. And there are so many blessings in our lives for which we should be grateful. Gratitude is a real shortcut to happiness. And what happens after we discard maybe the religion we were brought up in? The RTE program, The Meaning of Life, always ends, they have conversations with all types of people, some religious, some not religion. The program always ends with the question, say you go die and you go to the pearly gates and you meet St. Peter, and it's all true what you have discarded. What do you say to St. Peter? I think what I would say would be, I was given the gift of reason, and I used that gift of reason honestly as I could. I thought about it. I tried to live well and to learn a lesson. Amen.